All right, so I'll just start now. I'll start with an opening prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather as workers in your church. Lord, even as we spend this time just deliberating and going through the updates for the next couple of months, that you will just help us, give us understanding and inspire us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so good evening, everybody. I'm just going to run through a number of things this evening. Then at the end, if anyone has any comments, then they can comment. Okay, so so the first thing I just want to do is just to thank everyone for the work that we have been doing, as workers. I realize that a lot of us have put in a lot of hard work over the months, coming early to church to set up, attending the meetings, ushering, choir, and all those things. So we've done really, really well. So I just want to say, first of all, a big thank you to every single one of us for all the things that we have been doing. What's the, the moving forward of the church. Okay, so next, I just want to go through a portion of scripture this evening, just to really encourage us and to give us some perspective about, what God wants to do with us and how God sees us as well. So today, I'm going to be looking at what I've called not looking down on ourselves, not looking down on ourselves. And that one I will look at from Judges chapter 6, verses 16 to, no, Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. And I'm going to read, then I'll just highlight a number of points. It says that the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belongs to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why have all these things happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the land of Midian." Verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon said, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family." The Lord answered and said, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." All right, so we see a scenario here where an angel of God comes to Gideon and says, "Gideon, you're going to save Israel. This is what God has ordained for you." And Gideon turns around and says, "Hang on," I'm paraphrasing now. He must be talking to the wrong guy. He now begins to list out what he thought about himself and why he didn't think he qualified with regards to what God was asking him to do or what God had planned for him. He started by saying, well, he's the least in his house, his clan is the least, his family is the least. He now goes on to say, okay, if God is with us and you're saying all these things, then why have all these bad things happened to me? Why am I in my current situation? Why am I finding it difficult to move forward? Why has this happened to me? Why has that happened to me? So we see a number of things here, and I'll say how it maybe relates to us. We might be looking at Gideon and saying, well, that guy just didn't have faith. He should have known better. But a lot of the times we're exactly like Gideon. And the points I just want to raise with regards to Gideon is this. Number one, he viewed himself and he measured what he could do for God based on his own strength, based on his own accomplishments or non-accomplishments. He viewed what God could do for him based on the things that have happened around him. Now, what do I mean by that? Someone might look at oneself and say, look, I don't know the Bible that well. Maybe get somebody else that knows the Bible. So before I can know, before I can be really useful to God, I need to have a certain amount of knowledge. I need to have a certain amount of skill. Now, while all those things are good, God makes the point to him and says, in fact, God didn't even answer all his complaints. But one point that God highlighted through the angel was that, look, I've called you to do what you need to do. Don't let your current circumstance or your view of yourself, your strengths or weaknesses, affects what I've asked you to do. And that's number one. The other thing is this: he looked at everything that was happening around him, his failures mostly, and he said, well, if God is with me, then why are these things happening to me? Surely God is blessing Mr. XYZ. They don't seem to have a lot of problems. Maybe God is more pleased with them. Why don't they do the job? Why come to me that I'm barely making ends meet anyway? God ignored that as well. So what am I saying to us this evening? I'm saying to us that there's a possibility that we might be coming to church, we might be doing all we're doing, and we are not really conscious of the fact that God can do a lot with us, and God wants to do a lot through us. That God has confidence in himself, in us, not really confidence in ourselves. So that's the second point, that we cannot let whatever it is we're going through at the moment, or whatever we have achieved or not achieved, dictate the extent to which God can really do things through us. Now, so that's the second point. So the main point is this, which is the third point, and I will just say a few things after that, is Gideon was looking down on himself, and it got to a point. If you read down after Judges chapter 6 and you go on, you realize that Gideon's view of himself now aligned with God's view for him, and he was now able to do all the things that God had ordained for him to do. And I think he was actually quite surprised that God could do all those things through him. So that's the third point. Now, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story was that Gideon had to accept that he could be useful in the hands of God. Otherwise, God wouldn't have been able to do anything through him. He could have just refused to do whatever it was God was asking him and just stayed where he was to say, well, God, I don't really believe all this. Thank you for the confidence you have in me, but I don't have this confidence in myself. So Gideon had to, despite all the things that were going on around him, despite and in spite of his shortcomings, the only thing he did, I believe, that allowed God to really work through him was that he just said, well, even though all these things are not the way they should be, I'm going to still submit myself to what God wants to do. And I will do what God has asked me to do in the best of my ability, hoping and knowing that God will help me through. So what does that mean for us as a church? Now, what that means for us as a church and as individuals is that there's so much that God is wanting to do through us. I know God is doing stuff through us already, but there's so much more that God wants to do. But we must remove our eyes, remove our opinions from our circumstances, from where we think we are, what we have achieved, what we haven't achieved, and just solely rest on the fact that God is the one that will work through us. Do we get what we mean? So I believe that, as a church, that's where God wants to take us. For me, I'm super excited. And I think it shows sometimes because I really know what God wants to do with us as a church. But obviously, I can't do it alone. We need to also just really trust God as individuals, that God will take us to the place that He wants to take us to. And that you guys and girls will be part of this journey, and it will not just be, maybe Pastor B, who you guys think God wants to do stuff through, is all of us. So the points I've made in this today is, one, let's not just rely on or view ourselves in terms of what God wants to do through us from our own strength or weaknesses. Let's not look at ourselves through the things that are happening to us, maybe our challenges or whatever at the moment, or even our victories, so to speak. And number three, the only thing God is asking us to do is just to agree with him and just to carry on doing what and to do what he has asked us to do as we're doing at the moment, but even to, push ourselves to do more. Okay. All right, so that's what I wanted to mention tonight from just to encourage us. Now, I have a few updates for us then, a number of things that I just want to mention to us as well this evening. All right. So in terms of the things that we're going to be doing for the next our focus for the next couple of months, and at a high level, then as these things come about, we'll just I'll discuss about them more. Now, the first thing is this, it's Reverend Omer's birthday at the end of this month. Well, it's the 26th, well, it's the 20 on the 25th of August. So and if you guys are familiar with that, there's a big celebration that they have for her at the headquarters. So the same way we have for Apostle as well. So what I'm going to be doing is that day is a Friday, the 25th of this month. So I'm going to go to the headquarters and I'm going to represent CFT Bristol there. So I'm going to ask maybe Deaconess just to put the announcement out there for us to contribute some money for her. I'll get her a card. We'll contribute some money to her and just give her a cash gift. And maybe flowers. I don't know if I'll be able to get flowers and take that flowers all the way there. But it will probably just be a card and we'll just contribute money and give her as a church on that day. So I'm going to be in London on that day. So we can really just, I can represent us and just celebrate with her as well. Now, so that's the number, that's the first update. Now, the other update is we're having our CFT Bristol convention in October. The one we had last year was really nice. Everybody really pulled together with that one. And everybody that came from London, Birmingham, and all over, they had a really great time. So it was really, really, really well done. So the one for this year is on last year's was, and it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I believe. But this one is going to start on Wednesday. So it's going to be Wednesday, the 11th of October. To Sunday, which will be the final day, Sunday the 15th of October. So the way it's going to happen is that you on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's going to be evening meetings. Those will start at 7. So the Wednesday and Thursday will be Apostles' Day. It's called it a Divine Encounter. So Apostle will be ministering on those days. Then on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that will be the word convention for the women's convention that Reverend Oman does for us. So it's going to be 5 full days. Now for the first day, which is the Wednesday, we don't have the use of our where we have our Sunday meetings. I think somebody else has booked that the same way we booked it on Sundays. So for that Wednesday one, there's another place that we've got booked that we'll use for that day. We're thinking maybe we'll just make it dinner with the apostle or something, but I'll give you guys the details. We're still trying to finalize that. So, but for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it will be at the our regular church venue at the moment. So we've got that booked out. Now, so what that means is that for Wednesday, we'll need to arrive at the venue, the temporary venue, just for that day, maybe around 4 in the evening, so we can just set up a bit. For that one, we won't set up a lot. It will be maybe like a restaurant or something. So maybe just keyboard, maybe project or something, but it'll be a light setup. Now, from Thursday, that's when we'll be using the main hall. For that one, we'll need to be there in the morning at 10 in the morning so we can set up everything that needs to be set up in the place. So I don't know if anyone is going to take holiday on that day or something, so we can all gather for that one. So once we've set it up once on Thursday, that will be it. We're not gonna, the setup will be like that till Sunday. However, on Saturday, we're gonna have the questions and answers thing with Apostle and Reverend Omar. So we will set that up again on Well, we'll just do a mini setup for the interview style thing for Saturday, like we did the last time. But as the time approaches, we'll talk more about that. So Dickness Remy will be the one who will be coordinating the whole thing. So she'll just let everybody know what they need to do for that time. So, but just something to mark in our calendar from the 11th to the 15th of October, we need to just mark that in our time, that in our diary. Okay, so that is the update for that. Now, the last bit that I want to just talk about is, and this one is really specifically to the workers. I have like about four or so points to make, and just for us to take to heart. Then after that, if we have any questions, we can just ask or contribute for towards those. Now, the first thing I want to read, so like I said, it's just 4 points really for the workers, for you guys. And when I say workers, you know, the Bible tells us in Matthew, I've forgotten which particular portion of scripture, Jesus's disciples, they came to a crowd. There was a place, and let me actually get the actual scripture. I'll get to this. Maybe I'll get that later. Okay, so let me read it. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And in that portion of scripture, Jesus and his, they came to a particular place, and there were loads of people there. And the Bible says Jesus looked at these people with compassion. And what he said was that, he said when he in verse Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he says, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So Jesus told his disciples that they should pray for laborers or workers to go into the harvest to look after those people. So for anyone that takes the extra step and says, I don't want just to be, so I don't want to be just someone that strolls in on a Sunday whenever I want and maybe strolls out again without really participating in the actual local church and all the things that we do properly. Anyone that takes the extra step to do that, God considers them as workers in the vineyard. Those are the people that, really putting the effort to ensure that God's work goes forward. Now, am I saying that the people who are not workers are not putting in effort? I'm not saying that. They put in effort, but they don't put in the effort in the local church with regards to the actual work of ministry. Do you understand? God still loves them anyway. So for all of us as workers who have taken that extra step to be the answer to the prayer of Jesus that he prayed in this Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 37, God has he's really depending on us, and basically we're the answer to the prayer of Jesus. So I'm just going to be highlighting a number of things specifically to us tonight for us to note. Now, so the first thing we need to realize is this, and I think maybe the church you heard this as well at some point, is Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. It says, I am not saying this because I am in need, but I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do this through him who gives me strength. So the first thing I want to mention for us is, whatever situation that we're in, we need to be able to enjoy our lives in that context. I'm not saying if things are not good, we should just accept what's not good and just be defeatist and say, well, this is my portion in life. No, we will strive to get to be better in whatever it is we're doing, so on and so forth. But what I'm saying is this: in whatever situation you're in or that I find myself in, we shouldn't let that situation define our happiness or our excitement in God. So Paul was saying here, the Apostle Paul was saying, look, whatever situation he found himself was content. So what that means is whether you have money, whether you don't have money, whether your things are going well or not, God is saying, like, we need to be able to just really enjoy whatever it is we have and be happy that we are even born again. So that's an attitude that we really need to embrace, that we really need to have. And it's a state of mind that one has to work towards. So it's not like I'm going to be happy when all my problems are solved, because we always have problems all the time. It's not I'm going to be happy when I get this job, although you should be, you strive to get your job or a job or whatever to fend for yourself. But those cannot be the things that will be the basis for our happiness. Our happiness, we need to strive to play well. We need to strive to get to the place where whatever is happening around us, we're happy, irrespective. So that's the first thing I want to say, that as workers, God has, where God's work, the answer to God's, to Jesus's prayer, but God wants us to be really, really content and to be happy in whatever situation we find ourselves, even though we might be striving to do more. Okay. Now, I have three other things to mention. The second thing I want to mention is this, and that's from it's from Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Now, the second point I want to highlight to us as workers is we need to prioritize what I will refer to as spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. Now, what do I mean by that? That means we must be really serious about having our quiet time on a daily basis. So we must make time to study the Bible, make time to pray on a daily basis. Now, I'm almost insisting and saying it very vehemently because the truth of the matter is this: if we do not prioritize our time with God, then there's so much that we'll be able to do as individuals. Number one, we will not be as strong spiritually as we need to be. Realize that we're workers, we're not just folks in church. We will not be as strong as we need to be. Our faith will not be, when I say faith, our trust in God will not be as strong as it needs to be. Do you understand? Even me, that I'm a pastor, I have to subject myself to spiritual discipline as well, which means I must force myself to wake up, pray, read my Bible. Now, do I read my Bible every time I'm supposed to? No, I don't, but I don't. I just have it at the back of my mind. Okay, if I haven't read it this time, I'm going to read it so time. So it's not something I just leave to chance and say, well, I'll read my Bible or I'll pray when I get the time. If that's the attitude one has, I can guarantee you that you will not have the time. So the second point is that as workers, we need to really prioritize our time with God. We need to, and when I say prioritize our time with God, I can tell you guys this, that it's not good enough to wake up every day and the only time you spend in Bible study is 5 minutes every day. Or you get up and you only spend 2 minutes praying, and the prayer is, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you've done." All those are good, but we cannot grow spiritually with that kind of menu. So I don't hassle people to say, okay, you must pray this number of minutes or hours or whatever. It's left to you, but we must prioritize quality time with God, where we can spend quality time reading the Bible and praying as well on a daily basis. If you don't know what to read in the Bible, Apostle has given us a, he gives us a monthly Bible outline that you can, if you follow it till the end of the year, you will have read the Bible through at least once. We put it on the church forum. You can use that one if you don't know what to where to start with. But I cannot emphasize it enough, because if as a worker or as workers we don't prioritize that, then really, we won't really be able to. I mean, we're not go, we won't go anywhere. You understand? We would just, I mean, we can do everything, sing, do tech, do all the things we do, which I'm grateful to God that we're able to do. But if we neglect our spiritual discipline, which is Bible study and prayer, then we just really won't develop at all. But I know we're busy sometimes. And for the people who have young kids, it's like, man, when you want to do your Bible study, that's when they come and they're shouting and they're hungry and all that. So I know it's a bit tricky for people with kids, but what I'm just saying is that let us just try and prioritize that, and God will help us. So that's the second thing I just want to make, second point I want to make. I have two more sections to look at. Now, the third thing I want to mention is about attending all our church activities. Now, what are our church activities? We have the Sunday meetings, which a lot of us attend, which is great. We actually help with that. We have our Wednesday prayer meetings, and we also have our Bible, our Friday Bible study. Now, you know, I don't hassle people to say, come to church, come to prayer meeting, come to this. I don't. I will just say it as I'm saying now. Now, as workers, let me explain one of the reasons why we should attend those meetings. Now, let me explain. For Sunday, obviously for Sunday meetings, that one is a no-brainer. We should attend. But I'm saying, why do we even attend on Sundays? Why should you wake up on Sunday morning? Some people say, I'll attend online, you know, whatever, you know, I'll attend what, well. But the truth of the matter is this. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, it says, when we gather together, one person has a prophecy, a psalm, a hymn. When we gather together, the Bible tells us in the psalm, well, that's another topic. When we gather together physically like that, I'm telling you, there are certain things that will happen to you that you cannot get online. There are certain things that will happen to you at the meeting that you cannot get if you have not attended that meeting. So if God wants to prophesy to you in a meeting and you're not there, or God wants to speak something to you through the sermon, or there's a word for you, or even the praise and worship where God is just like really ministering to people. If you're not there as an individual, then sorry. You can listen to the sermon online. God can still touch you, but so I'm just saying sorry because there are just some things that you will not experience if you do not attend, like for example, on the Sunday. Number two, again, is this. For people who are going to be ministers in the future, maybe you're a pastor or a teacher or one of those things. When you come to, like, this will apply to Wednesday service as well. When you come to the Sunday meetings, you will see how things are done, how things are done in church meetings. You see how we preach, you see how we do choir, how we sing, so that you as well, you will learn how these things work, so that you know how they work, so that when it's time for you to start a church somewhere or to do something, you already know how things work. You know how you should do the service, how you take offering, how you open the service, how you minister, and all these things. Apart from being blessed personally, then even after church, you guys know that we stay behind, we talk with one another, we gist, we speak, we just encourage one another. You can't get that at home for, you know. So I'm just saying we need to understand why we come on the Sundays as well, is to encourage one another and for God to speak to you and I. And so that we're really, you know, touched and we experience God's presence as we do. So that's quite important that we do. So the third one I'm talking about is the reason for our meetings. Now, we also have the Wednesday prayer meeting. Now, another point for that one is one of the reasons why we attend that, number one, is to pray. Is to pray. Now, we've done it in such a way that we have someone that will do reflection, 5 minutes. We have someone that will look at the Bible study that we do and give us a reflection on that. We have people who lead prayer. Now, I can attend that meeting. I can lead all the prayers, do all the Bible studies, and we'll still be good. But I don't do that. I allow everybody to access to grow in the in their ability, number one, to lead prayer, because you lead one prayer or two, the only way you can improve or know how to pray is you actually doing it. I give people opportunity at those meetings as well to share something with us for 5 minutes. Now, what that will do to you is that it will help you to be able to read the Bible and bring something out and come and share with us for 5 minutes. And for the people who review the Friday meetings, is so that you can review the Friday meeting, see how we teach the Bible word book by book, so that you realize that okay, the way you teach on a Friday Bible study is different from preaching. Because the Friday one, you have to explain a particular text. You can't just preach anything from, you know. So you doing that is going to develop you. It's like you're an apprentice. So for anyone that doesn't come on the Wednesdays, that doesn't participate in the prayer, doesn't get the opportunity to share, and it's just a few of us there. You can, you know, you don't have to, it's not like Sunday where there are people who come, new people, and you're like, might be a bit shy, is on the platform here. So the reason I'm just saying all these things is that some people will don't attend the Wednesday meeting and they're like, I'm just going to do Sundays. No problem. So anyone that wants to attend, no problem. Anyone that doesn't want to attend, I'm not going to say no problem because I'm the pastor, but the truth of the matter is this, I can't force anyone. But I'm just explaining what the reasons why we do what we do so that you guys can be informed. So for the Wednesday ones, really, we pray as a church. We pray as a church. So we need to realize that the business we're in is a spiritual business. It is about the souls of men. It is about you. It is about me, about what God is doing with us, wants to do with us. We need to pray those things out. Do you understand what I mean? But apart from the fact of praying on the Wednesdays, is also to give everybody opportunity to develop. We have someone who attends from the States, and she once in a while we tell her to do review, and she's excited about it because she can go and exercise her on the gift of teaching. So the Wednesday meetings, apart from praying, is to give us opportunity to develop. So it won't just be me doing that knows how to lead prayer or to do, you know, we all have the ability, but the only way we will be able to grow is if we exercise it. You understand? So that's for the Wednesday one. Now for the Friday ones, that's online. Obviously, it's Bible teaching where we are going through the Bible book by book. So watching that one, and now it's online, you can just click your phone and just be listening and just concentrate. So that one has a purpose. We've just finished Philippians now. So if you go back to Philippians, that means from the Philippians chapter 1 to Philippians chapter 4, we did a book. I mean, we went through every chapter and every verse of that book in the Bible, explained it in context, explained what the thing was saying. So can you imagine that if you understood that, then apart from that, it will also teach you the thinking of how we analyze the Bible in that context, bring out what the Bible is saying, apply it to our current context. Do you understand? So it's teaching us that skill and exposing the Bible to us in that fashion. So these are so fundamental. So we have the Sunday meeting, which is God really us gathering together to worship God. The Wednesday meeting is where we pray and we develop. And the Friday meeting is where we look at the Word of God book by book. We don't do what they call those things. I mean, those are just like really bare bones. And I believe that anybody that will participate in these things with the view that we want to know God and we want to be able to participate in doing these studies, leading prayer, you know, you will grow. At least that's the way I've grown. People give me opportunity to lead prayer, to share. I remember when I became born again in 1996, I was in an usher in the ushering department in the church that I was in, and they said, "Oh, please come and share with us." And I was like, I nearly fainted that day. And I remember I shared that day, and I was like, "Wow, this is interesting." And I saw some people sharing on different days, like, "Man, how did they know? I mean, isn't this the same Bible read? How did they know all these things?" So I was captivated by that. But the only way I was able to grow in that was because they gave me opportunity to lead prayer, to do this. Otherwise, if we don't participate that way, then we can't really, we can't really grow as we should. So that's the third point in terms of why we are what the H meeting is for, and why we should really try and participate and attend those meetings as well. Now, the fourth one I have, the fourth one, which is the final one, is our giving. You know, as a church, we don't really do all this giving, give and God will give back to you. So, we don't do all those things. We don't do any of those things. And you guys know, we collect our offering, we praise God, and we call it a day. Do you guys get what I mean? Obviously, you guys know. So we're not like a money church. However, I want to highlight, this is the fourth point, that giving, for me, and from what the Bible says, is an act of is an act of honoring God. And let me actually even get a scripture there. And I think I need to really explain this to us, because there's so much going on around this giving business. And I think one time on the internet, and other people were going a bit viral with all sorts of opinions, but as a church, we don't base our things on people's opinions. We base our giving on what the Word of God says. So I just want to make some points to us regards to giving. Now, I'm not going to explain giving from a place of if you give, God will bless you, or if you don't give, God will not bless you. I'm not even going to say any of that. Now, the only thing I'll say, and just to mention a number of things, is this: Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of your crops." So the reason, and the main reason, we give to the work of God is because we honor God. We honor God with our giving. All this, is it New Testament? Is it Old Testament? I mean, I don't even want to go into that. It's just like, for example, you're a child, your parents have, your parents have looked after you since you were a child, since you were born. You're now a you've now grown into an adult, and you start working. Then your parents are not working anymore. Maybe they're in their old age or whatever, and they're not really making any money anymore. Then the energy bill goes up in England, and they're short by £100. You make, who knows, £40,000, and you know that your parents' energy bill is £100 a month, and they can't cover it because their pension doesn't cover it. What do you do? We just ignore that and say, well, at least they should know how to take care of themselves. Or do you take out of your £40,000 a year and say, okay, mom, dad, I'm going to give you at least £100 a month to cover your bills. I know you're not able to cover it, and even give you more to be able to do your shopping, to be able to even go on holiday. My daughter is smiling. Dad, are you saying something here? I'm just trying to make it real for us. Do you just ignore them and just say, well, it's not my business, I have my life to live? No, we don't do that. You're giving your parents to cover their shortfall, maybe their energy bills, and to even give them more to do all those things. It's because you're honoring them. You're not going to go to your father and say, is Old Testament or New Testament to give this money to support you? I mean, that was, for me, it doesn't add up. So Proverbs 3:9, we give because we love God and we honor God. Now, what does it mean in terms of honoring God? Number one, when we come to church on Sundays, we rent a place, obviously. I'm sure you guys know that they don't give it to us for free. We have equipment that we bought. We have all these monthly expenses that we have to pay. Now, it's all for God's house. It's not my house. It's not any of your houses. It's God's house. So how do we honor God? The same way I described to our parents about our parents needing our help, is their bills to be paid. So They're not paying the bills to me. We're honoring God by contributing to his house. That's how we honor God. We're saying, God, we appreciate you enough. We love you enough that we want to ensure that your work goes on. We print flyers. We do so many things. That has to come from somewhere. Do you understand? So all this Old Testament, New Testament thing, I'm not even going to go into that. I'm just looking at it from a common sense perspective that if we believe that it is God that gives us the money we have by providing opportunities for us, even if we don't believe that, the fact that God has saved us and we're his children, we need to look after his house. We need to look after his house. It's just, I mean, when I talk, you know, sometimes I have this conversation with people, I'm like, remove all this Old Testament. I mean, you go to your church, don't you? Who do you think pays for all those things? Does money come from heaven? It does not. So I just want us to be real about this thing and just not participate in all these things that people do. And well, you guys know that as a pastor, I mean, I can say this to the workers, I don't get paid a salary. The church doesn't pay me salary. The church doesn't give me stipend. The church doesn't pay for my mobile phone. So I, as well, I contribute, I give to the church the same way anybody will give, because I'm a child of God and I will honor God that same way as well. You understand? So we're all in this stuff together, and you guys know we're not like these people that just spend the church money anyhow. In fact, we can never even do that. So I'm just saying that we need to support the church in a way, in the way the Bible says we should, and just forget all these things that people say all over the place. We just do it to honor God. So the next one is, so what do we give? Now, the Bible says in Matthew as well, I'm not going to go into the details. Some people, I'm not even going to go into all this Old Testament, New Testament thing. But for the theologian's sake, in the Old Testament, it says we should give our tithe, which is 10% of our money. 10% is a tenth. In Matthew as well, in Matthew chapter, let me just bring this. Well, I'll get that later. Well, in Matthew, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were asking him a question. They said, when he was saying that you guys give a tenth, I mean, you give a tenth of your mint, of your crops, but you've neglected justice. And he says, you should do the latter without ignoring the former. I believe Matthew chapter 5 or thereabouts. So Jesus himself said that they should still carry on giving what they give in terms of the tenth, while also adding justice to it, not just being so strict about another. So from a giving perspective, let it be known that I'm saying to us that God expects that we will give a tenth. I didn't say pay a tenth, that we'll give a tenth of our income to support the work of God. Some people are like, well, do I have to give a tenth? Or can't I give whatever I want? Well, the truth of the matter is you can give whatever you want. And the truth of the matter is that if you don't want to give, and I'm saying you, not you guys here, anybody can give what they want to give. That's the truth of the matter, you know. But God says we should, because, I mean, can you imagine if everybody decided that this month I'm going to give variable. This month I'll give £5. Next month I'll give £100. I mean, how would we know? How would we be able to have consistency? You guys have direct debit now in your account. You pay your mobile phone bill like 10 or 20 quid. We don't say to the mobile phone bill, look, today I have £5. I'm going to give variable. I mean, come on, we don't do that. So we give 10%. As the Bible says, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, we should not deceive ourselves at all that, well, it doesn't matter. If nobody wants to give, that's fine. No, well, it's not fine, but, you know, let's not use this Old Testament, New Testament thing to deceive ourselves. And if someone is struggling, it's like, maybe you even hardly have enough money to make ends meet. And it's like, man, if I give 10%, I can't even make my bills. That's where faith comes in, where you base your income, try and do financial budgeting. You base your income on 90% of what you earn. So whether it meets your bills or not, obviously you should pay your mortgage and all that. You still pay, you base your life on 90%. And I've done that forever. But before I pay my mortgage, anything, before I give anybody any money, before the phone bill people collect their money and all that, my 10% goes first. Then we can, I can talk to the people who want to harass me if I'm not, if I can't pay them in time. So it's just this practice. So let's just make it happen. So in terms of giving, we give 10%. That apart from 10%, we give offering as well. Above, you know, we give offering as well to, you know, as we're blessed. You know, that can be variable. Then the third thing we do in terms of giving is we give to one another. We give to one another. And one thing I say is this, I can say this to us because we're workers. It's not good enough that as an individual in the whole year, I'm saying a whole year, I'm widening the gap. I want to even in 3 months that all the money that a Christian makes, you spend every single thing on yourself. You don't give it to another Christian brother, or you don't give it to, you don't give part of it to someone who has need. For me, it just doesn't, it's, I'm not sure that was, that's what God wants us to do. We might say, well, I haven't finished sorting myself out. The truth of the matter is that you and I will always have something that we need to sort out. That cannot be the basis. So the attitude we need to have is, look, even though I have my own needs as well, I'll give my offering, I'll give my tithe, but I will also try and help someone that has need once in a while and inconvenience myself. That's the way we make it work. And as your pastor, I mean, there are times that I plan that, okay, this money, I'm going to use it for X amount. Then someone in church has a need that is, it outweighs that thing that I want to do. What do? I just have to just inconvenience myself and help them because it's for a season that they need that help. So what I'm just saying is that as a church, we need to give out from a give our tithe to support the house. We should give offering, but we also need to give to one another. Do you understand? And I believe that's what God wants us to do. All right. Now, I don't want to belabor the fact, but I thought, well, I need to tell you guys the truth because people just say all sorts of things about this offering tithe thing. And I know that there's some pastors who on YouTube and all this thing, we hear all these things about pastors that misuse the funds of people's money, but you guys know that we're not that kind of church. So please let's honor God with our earnings, and I'm sure He will continue to sustain us in Jesus' name. All right, so that is all that I have got for today. So we looked at a number of things. Earlier, we looked at the programs we're doing. We're doing the Word Convention thing and Apostles program in October. I talked about Joshua and us not looking down on ourselves, but being able to really depend on God to do, to depend on God to do what He wants to do through us, not just looking at ourselves. Then I've looked at these four main points that I spoke about. The first being we need to be content and enjoy our lives. The second, prioritizing spiritual discipline. Number three, church meetings and why we attend those. Number four, really honoring God by our giving. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our King, we just want to thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. We thank you for your care. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be workers in your vineyard. What an honor. Lord, I commit everyone that has put their hands into this work that you will continue to strengthen us. Lord, for anyone who is tired, Father, I ask that you give us strength. For anyone who is struggling, Lord, help us in the name of Jesus. Father, let us be distinguished in terms of the fact that we are laboring together with you. We are workers together with you. Help us. Let us be distinct as your workers in the name of Jesus. Father, for all the programs that we're still doing, we're going to do this year for the Word Convention, for Apostles program that is going to do as well in October, we commit those things into your hands. Thank you so much for the help that you gave us last year that made it such a success. This year, we ask that you will even do exceedingly abundantly above all that we have asked or that we might even think. Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for, giving us the opportunity to serve. Thank you for giving us the grace and the giftings to serve. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to stop the recording. Then we can, if we have any questions in the next few minutes, we can ask them. So I'm just going to click stop the recording.